friends, once again to Progressive News Network. I'm your host, Rick Spezak, bringing you another episode of Poets of the East. Poets of the East is a chance to bring poets from across the globe, because the sun rises in the East and poets are there. Poets arise and shine and give us great new vistas and improve our minds. Our guest today, the amazing Pankuri Sinha, is our featured speaker, poet, producer, and just one amazing poet. If you haven't been introduced to her work, you must. She's begun her own series of broadcast interviews, which you can find at Facebook, Pankuri Sinha 56. So that's Pankuri dot Sinha, Sinha dot 56. So check it out. She's already done amazing interview with Misha Danduka, a tremendous poet, a global master poet whose work you must hear. It will touch your heart. Okay, so in addition to Pankuri Sinha, we also have the work of Johanna Devadeyavu, a wonderful poet from India, who, God bless her, was having technical troubles, and she's asked me to read her work, and I will try in my own small way to do it justice. But I urge you to listen past my voice to the voice of this amazing poet, Johanna Devadeyavu. And then also, because that's not enough, we also have Meher Pestanji, another poet from India, and she has an amazing backstory, a journalist working to try to make people aware of some of the devastating effects of poverty and life for the poorest of the poor. And she has turned her hand to poetry, and it is evocative, it is exquisite. And the only sad thing is we didn't have a high-end studio and a high-tech, a high-speed line there. So there's a little echo on her part of the reading, but I hope you'll overlook that and instead listen to the amazing voice that is Meher Pestanji. And truth be told, you'll hear a little bit of my work as well. You'll hear, Hey Neighbor, it is a COVID poem, and you'll hear a piece called Sea Watch, which treats on the immigrant issue in the Mediterranean, where people are fleeing desperate conditions, trying to find their way ashore, and a brave group of selfless sailors and a captain have done their best to save as many people as possible. So Sea Watch is my little tribute to them, to that team. And last, another COVID poem of mine, you'll hear Scrubbing Groceries. Many of us concerned about the impact of COVID on the simplest fact of bringing groceries into your home. So I wrote a little poem called Scrubbing Groceries. I think you get the idea. But first, ladies and gentlemen, I have the profound good pleasure of bringing you Pankuri Sinha from India.
Yes.
And I'm very pleased and honored that you could join us. Pankuri is a friend of mine, a poet of immense talent. Not only a poet who works hard to create beauty, to share the deepest wisdom, but also a poet who cares enough about other poets, who wants to help them get their work out, who has built bridges across the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome with me one of my favorite poets, Pankuri Sinha. Pankuri, welcome.
Thank you so much, Richard. You're so kind with your introduction that you've left me speechless. Amazing. Wow. Yes.
That's hard to do for a poet.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? I have tried my level best to build some bridges. I'm still in the process, and I have to thank you immensely for that. You know, you have really helped me. And I, again, I want to tell you that I'm overwhelmed with your kind words, and I hope that I am worthy of them. Do you know what I mean? And coming
don't,
from a great...
Don't worry. Like you don't need to worry in the least, my dear. To me,
right.
I work hard at my poetry. I
mm-hmm.
try to nurture inspiration, but I also try to take time when I'm not filled with inspiration to try to work at my craft, to improve my craft. And to me, that is one level of difficulty. To build bridges, to connect with other poets, to help them get their work out, that's a whole additional art. And I have worked some time in helping concerts and helping special events, so I know that that's an additional level of skill, an additional level of caring, and you're that kind of poet. You're a poet who not only tries to get your own work out, to create beauty with your own work, but to help others nourish their art. And that, my hat is off to you, my dear. I think that's a wonderful thing. Tell us a little bit about yourself. When did you start writing? What brought you to writing? Did you start when you were very young or in your early teenage years? Tell us a little bit about Pankuri.
Yes, my pleasure. Well, actually, you got the story right, early teenagers, or maybe even before that. You know what? I had a diary, a really brown-colored thing, and I was actually writing some nature poems, you know, about the tiny flowers in my garden and about... the things around me and about wanting to play and all of that, you know. So it was a rhythmical rhyming kind of a poem that I first wrote about, you know, how I wanted to play with people around and not having to study so much, you know. So those were my two initial poems. And then on, I think there was a little bit of a silence. I wasn't writing in, say, in my early teens, like maybe around 13 or something, no. And then I was in college, and I was actually studying for my, you know, history honors course, and really it was a demanding thing. I was also enjoying, there were challenges. In the middle of it, there came an invitation for a poem, for an award, and I wrote it, I submitted, and I think that by that time, maybe I was writing a few lines here and there, not even in my diary, but you know, scrap paper and just all of that. And I did send my poem. I won this award. This was in Delhi University in the second year of my bachelor's, and that was the first big award I won. And that was it. And I met these very famous, you know, poets themselves, who were the judges and critics, and they said it was a good piece of poetry and you need to send your poems to the journals and get them published. And, you know, at the same time, there were so many campus fests happening all over the university. And I also wanted to try all of them. So, and I also wanted to try my hand at story writing simultaneously. So I did. And I was lucky enough, fortunate enough to have won the first prize in that as well in another college and then again. So yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was easy, that was good, that was simple. You know what, Richard, I have something to tell you. If you are living your life in a straight line, everything is good. But, and here is my poet's heart really pouring itself out. But let's say if you meet some sort of a roadblock and there is a problem and then you have to start all over again, then there are several hurdles that come up. And that's where, you know, poetry comes in, because it also deals with them at the same time. You know, it talks to all of these people who are sitting in these positions of power, who make borders, who make appointments, who decide on awards, who decide on so many other things in life, right? So if poetry in itself is a way of negotiating with the power structure, if you will. So that's pretty much what writing means to me, as well as how I started and how I have restarted each time I've had a roadblock in front of me or something like that. But this is what I was saying, that if it is a straight line, you know, things really are super. But if there is a roadblock, even like a divorce and some argument around it, like a contested house, or I don't have a contested custody of a child. This is just going too far. But let's say a border, like I couldn't go back home to your country, right? Which should have been my country by now as well. But instead of that, I got thrown out. You know, like, you know of my deportation story. That's the song that I sing all the time. So, yes. But I let it sprout in the form of poems, and here they are. I don't know if this is also a video recording that's going to be played out. If it is, then I hope that you do see this, because this is a book that's very, very dear. And I really wish to thank all of my friends, you know. First of all, you, Richard, I think we met on Facebook. This was about maybe a couple years back, and I've already been on the show. I've also shared the memory of it from Facebook Memories. That was one happy and proud day. And there have been friends in Romania and Czechoslovakia and so many other places. I've been translated now in over 22 languages of this world from this book of poems and the other book of poems of mine called Dear Susanna. So yes, these are basically poems of confrontation and poems of so many other things, but I am just going on and on and on.
That's fine. We're learning a little something about Pankuri, and that's a wonderful thing. So tell me, we have talked about poetry for a bit. I think it's time for a Pankuri poem. Tell us a Pankuri poem.
Great. So I think that I have already felt some sort of a background to this. I will start with a short poem called The Thing Called Justice. The thing called justice seemed very far away in the prison, not just on weekends when the law offices were closed, but on the days when they were open. Even on court days, when entire trials were conducted without mentioning anything of the rights of the prisoners, so many of them, as the prisoner sat handcuffed, truly a reduced soul. So basically, this is a poem that addresses also the problem of wrongful imprisonment and this bias of this entire judicial system and the law enforcement system that it has against, you know, the so-called prisoners, the alleged criminals, that they must have done something. Many times they have not. And even if, say, they did, like there were so many people on drugs, you know. And there's so many people who come in for immigration, crimes, and some have committed serious offenses, like they have just overstayed and they have run businesses, illegal businesses on them. Yet, they all deserve dignity, they all deserve humane treatment. This is what the prison reform movement and fight is all about, right? And we all know that regimes, all kinds of regimes and all kinds of totalitarian rulers have put anyone and anything in prison whenever they have felt threatened. This is happening in India. So this is really happening in India. People are protesting against a citizenship law, and when they take out marches, what they do is that if somebody just gets left behind or is secluded, they are picked up, you know. So this poem is not just about my own detention experience. I mean, I was a student in sunny Buffalo, to tell you the details of my immigration saga, and it's a long thing for me. I just bought a new house in Rachel Court, Sweet Home Road, in Amherst, New York, off of Maple. I mean, I can't tell you the way I love that place and the way in which I want to go back, and someday I will, and I'll also show up at your door, dear Richard. And it was, you know, I was thinking I am going to spend my entire life here, although my love life wasn't going so great. I married a university sweetheart of mine, but things can fall apart, you know, and they did. And I thought, you know what, now I got my study permit, let me drop my status with him and let me just pursue my own path. And that too was really caused, you know, to an extent. I mean, we had patched up. I mean, here comes my entire story, right? I mean, it's a long one. But there was a precipitating thing that caused it. I sadly don't have a love poem handy here. Someday I will. But to cut that very long story short, I was actually going to get a green card. And I dropped it for this study permit because I decided to file for this divorce. Otherwise, I would not have. And once I did that, let's say for the same man, can I go ahead and say this? The same man, as in there was a German professor named Andreas Thom, who was actually following me. I'm going to say this, you know, from day one. Not really stalking in the sense that he was doing it every day in a very spelt out and pronounceable way, but he was doing it to an extent, and then I had ignored it, completely ignored it. More than an year had passed, and I mean, I can give you examples of this, but whatever. And then the next fall, two students picked on him. One was a research scholar two students picked on me, and what's that? Is that music for me
picked up? No, put my phone asking for attention.
Right. And here I am with my story. Yeah, the two students picked on me, and I decided to, and he was the coordinator of so much that was going on. I wrote him an email. He complained. It's unbelievable, you know. And I was already having a very strained relationship with my ex-husband now, my husband then, and not only did he complain to the campus police, it seems that the campus police called my ex-husband and complained to him, and we had a major fight.
Oh my goodness.
And that is how the divorce was filed. Yeah, now I am giggling, but then, you know, while filing the divorce, I wasn't worried, like I said before. Now I come back to that point. It's fine, it didn't work out. This guy is always putting me down. He's always blaming me for all the evils in this world. Let's say bye, and I will buy this house back, and I will be happy here. I will be an independent woman pursuing my PhD and writing my poems and stories and all of that. But here I am in India, my PhD gets cancelled. I go back to the house and to the city where I've been living since the past 6 years, with tons of my things, you know, are there, and they're still kept in a friend's place. And I was told that I simply cannot go back. As in, I was declared an illegal alien, because this guy, after creating troubles in my marriage, then he went ahead and complained in the department, and to the extent that he got my admission cancelled, and once my admission was cancelled, my visa was no good, and once that happened, I had no status. So So yeah, so that's the reason I wanted to tell you all the story. And another time when you will allow me again, I will have a love poem, but right now I don't. And
why don't you share some other poem with us then, if not a love poem?
If this is about poetry, and I have, like I said, you know, it's a thick book, I can go on and on, but this thing for justice, I can't tell you. Like they say, justice is the one thing you should always have. Okay. So here's a poem. It's a little long one. It's called "Of Prison Darkness." Of a light bulb, of a night bulb, lit up forever, never going off with no switch in the room. But probably a mild dimming of the lights at night. And you could ask the guards. You could ask the guards to lower the AC. You could see them from the vent in the door, from the big square vent. She often did. Woke up, wore her spectacles and saw them. They wore blue uniforms, navy blue. They asked you to not carry your food in your cells. She did. They all did. Many times. Once they called again and again for stolen milk and anyone who had stolen milk, but she hid them. Behind the TV was locked for an evening with no evening shower. She, the most disciplined of all prisoners, ate very quietly, asked for extra. Whenever anyone got a bail and left, while they all talked with food over food, some talked in their sleep, some cried at night. They came in the mornings before dawn, before the sunrise, way before sunrise, and took them people who were going back to their country, their own country or countries. Different people going to different countries, being sent rather. Some said there were many countries within their country, and they had none. But they had lost the case and were being sent back. Also people who had overstayed, knowing the penalty. Some people were caught at the border, crossing the border with expired papers. It all makes you wonder. It all makes you wonder if there was a larger nexus, a bigger game, but no one told you anything. Those contesting their status spoke endlessly of the court without speaking of the truth or even of what was happening. There was a mystery, there were secrets. There were committed friends, there were promises, there was eternal night. The light never went off. The doors opened and locked at a time. They were computerized and could be opened and locked at any time. So this is the prison door that I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you so very much. What a lovely poem. Sad, of course. But
yes.
True, and that truth rings very powerfully. Would you like to read one more today?
Yes.
Please.
I am thinking in between two. The day Lucy got a bail. I think I'll read this. The day Lucy got a bail. There was mild celebration, a mild extension of smiles, a mild laughter. Long after she had left, a giggle had stayed. Lucy had hit her husband with a car. I had just left mine. He had cheated on her consistently. Lucy thus had ideological oppositions to me. I was an adulteress. But my husband had cheated on me, not sexually, professionally, the professional that my work had just allied with him. I was an adulteress, imprisoned on charges of immigration, yet Lucy very fondly called me shower number 3. Lucy often called me while I was in the shower. Lucy laughed a lot, while we ate and walked and continues to do so, so many years later.
Lovely. Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you so much. My pleasure and honor. And here I am. I just can't stop myself. I hope I will be back. It was a real honor, Richard. I send good wishes to everybody who is listening to this. I have said so much, but I just want to say just one thing. You know, please understand that there is this war about immigration all the time happening, and people have protested. They've called for justice. So please stand by and stand for people asking for justice.
Well, hopefully, with a change of administration and more humane understanding of of humans' need to migrate.
Right.
Borders are a political illusion at best, and at worst, an excuse for so much bad behavior. And this country, America, was formed with the idea that all human beings should be treated equal. Not just citizens, not just the rich, but all people have human rights. And if people have human rights, those rights must supersede the petty prejudices that animate too many. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Panguri, and hopefully let us both pray for a better, more humane world.
Yes, let's do that. Amen. Amen. I
hope you'll get a chance to visit these shores again. We would be richer if you were here.
Thank you. I don't only want to visit. I want to go back to live. You see, that's the dream. That's where I want to be living as an old woman, and that is where I would like to die and be buried.
Well, we welcome you. We welcome your art. We welcome your voice. We welcome you, a woman, old or young, always brilliant and always caring. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure and honor. Thank you, Richard.
We'll talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
And now for something completely different. Hey, neighbor. When we dress to sally forth, we wear the masks and gloves, of course. Goggles for your pretty eyes, with earmuffs to we our oral portals hide. Our outfits fit from heel to tall, just to be sure we cover it all. We can't breathe Corona's aroma store in provant of men or women more. When we adventure out in all timidity, out to stores in our vicinity, that our larders might hold more than damaging spores and jars galore, we scrub the stuff upon its rival, since we are occupied with our survival. We observe such gallantry in area of 16 feet exemplary, like isolated charges held in the penitentiary. Do we our neighbors' feet so avoid, no stepping on toes or bumping heels enjoin? And we few are in our shopping are employed, barely whispered greetings, eyes averted, scant enjoyed, all so remoted as we our petty burdens toted. Our pleasures plundered from social graces split, we can't even enjoy an outdoor sitting shift with some chum of bygone days to rest, when in our amusements we are now betrayed, no jest, no zest in hallowed gallows pressed. If a visiting neighbor beckons, a viral potential now is reckoned. A shouted greeting across the yard, cause breathing closer now is barred. One day when old Corona begins to lapse and no more troubles are every synapse, each several nerve frayed to its collapse, we'll wonder about these separate pleasures, now a burden, once a treasure, on when casual friendship lures and boys and girls will wildly murmur yours. What clashing sense will alarm when a warm hand or a brushed cheek betrays no harm after Corona's visit? Is it? So that was a poem by Richard Spisak. Up next is a series of poems by Johanna Devadevu, a marvelous poet from India who, unfortunately, technology being what it is, was unable to connect, but she sent her poems and asked me if I would read them. So a special treat to the ones that she'd sent me to read. I want to read this very, very fresh poem that she posted just yesterday. It's called Stillness by Johanna Devadevu. Stillness. In the holy presence, I am secure from typhoon's fury. The typhoon is wild, uprooting old trees, wise establishments. The shelters are shaking, the constructions built to protect. Oh, the shattering speed of the wind. For safety, where to run, where to hide, oh, where to go? I sit, quiet, unperturbed, in the holy presence, where there is silence, rooted in the source from where all life flows. I abide in stillness. Johanna Devadevu. 22nd day of January 2021. From Langharanga in Tiruvelveli, India. Now, some additional poems by Johanna. My friends, this is Richard Spisak. I've been asked by one of my favorite poets to read some of her verses because technologically it's difficult for her to speak from where she is. She's a wonderful Indian poet. Let me introduce to you to a few poems by Johanna Devadevu. This one is called The Magic of Love. The Magic of Love. A blossom concealed, untouched, encaged, unawakened, sleeping. Blooming by love's sweet touch, the dream of timeless feeling. Love enlivening her face, igniting sparkles in her eyes. Love adding luster and grace, causing to melt a heart of ice. Love, the timeless embrace, causing the rose to bloom, the cloud to be silver-laced, the butterfly to crack the cocoon. Some birds keep on singing. No cage can stop their song. Hopeful tidings bringing to prisons of iron strong. Some roses bloom forever. Some hearts are made of gold. Forgotten, they are never, as love never grows old. Some roses bloom forever. Their odor, like a sweet bouquet. Forever, they are remembered, though we all must pass away. Some roses bloom forever. I am love. I shall never die. Some roses bloom forever. By Johanna Devadevu, April 1st, 2021. Now that you've been introduced to Johanna, let me read a short biography that she sent me to be shared along with these poems. Johanna Devadevu, alias Johanna Chittaranjan, hails from Switzerland. At her young age, she spent 5 years at an ashram in South India. Now, she is married to an Indian citizen and is residing in Tamil Nadu since 40 years. Contributing greatly to humanity through her charitable venture. It was after an encounter with a friend from Canada who was a very sensitive and talented writer and poetess, Johanna started writing. At her friend's advanced age, they had a very close communication through email. However, one day she passed away, and the void space was compelling her to start scribbling something for eternity. In 2014, Johanna published her first anthology of poems entitled The Call of the Turtle Dove for Universal Peace. Since then, she has penned a number of poems. Listening to her inner voice, the poetess continues her journey, spreading the light of wisdom through her poems and adding beauty to those lives around her with her boundless love. What a beautiful biography. Let me read you some more. This is entitled Dedicated to My Beloved Husband. Head of the home, strength no other known, courage and tender support, hope and strong resort, firm ground like a rock, doubt he does mock, friend the best ever known, of love the epitome no other can be shown. Unique, second to none, feeling up or down from dawn to dawn, ever there for her call, who is dearest to his soul, 'cause he is her one and all. By Johanna Devadeyavu. December 2nd, 2014. This one is her poem entitled Alive. The eagle flying high, the bee humming by, the butterfly dancing in the light, the flower booming bright, the water drop in ocean wide, the wave splashing with the tide, the seashell washed up by the swell, the child exhilarated over the shell, the earth singing her song, the sun bright and strong, the stars keeping their place, the moon with its silvery face, the tree in forest deep, the weed decorating a busy street, lion, king of beasts, the ant not being the least. As to be, I cease. With gentle ease, I permeate all these on the wing of a breeze. Alive by Johanna Devadeyavu. This is a poem by Johanna Devadeyavu entitled Portrait. Today is the day. I heard them say without much delay, a baby girl in her cradle lay. Blue eyes saw the first sun ray. How dazzling was the sight that day. Yet all dim, shrouded in a shade of gray. Where have I arrived? Have I gone astray? Where are the light beings in their sublime array? Why am I alone? Why have they all gone away? In this moment of anguish, a voice, soft, dulce, calling my name, the pain of solitude to allay. Mother's voice reassuring, come what may. Spirit being starting earth's pathway. Consciousness present alway. While living earth's play, calling this day birthday. By Johanna Devadeyavu, 8/24/2020. Here's another one by Johanna Devadeyavu. Who am I? I am a medium-sized, cheerful tree. The tropics and subtropics are the places where my merry green crowns you'll see. Few are my needs, yet I give in abundance. And I wanted to share this poem with you too for Johanna. This one entitled, The Journey. Good morning, esteemed friends. Interesting were the past few days. To join the world of poetry, I was invited, causing my humble heart to be excited. After joining a poetic marathon, many new friends have come along, overwhelmed by poetry's magnitude, greeting all with high regard and gratitude. A tiny sparkling water drop am I, merged in the vastness of the ocean wide. Do in no way try to look for me. The only thing you'll find will be the sea. Long had my journey bar, as a raindrop I had taken avatar. Riding silvery curtain, I landed in a pond home to fish and frog. Often watched the sunrise through the fog. The journey continued in the river wide and slow and in solitude. Saw high-rise buildings and sprawling cities, proud towers and temples and mediocrities. Found nothing of interest or attraction, only longing for lasting satisfaction. The river met the ocean after a voyage long. Therefore, do in no way try to look for me. The only thing you'll find will be the sea. Johanna Devadeyavu. A marvelous poet. I am anti-inflammatory. I increase mental clarity. I am antibacterial and antifungal. I relieve constipation. I cure gum infection. I improve your vision and soothe the nervous system. I make your hair grow. I cause your skin to glow. I am strength in your bone and cause toxins to be gone. I am your support for diabetes. I treat liver and spleen disorders. I heal eye and ear infections and mucus inflammations. I heal minor cuts and bruises. I prevent osteoporosis. I am an antidepressant, and my presence is pleasant. I have more of vitamin C than oranges and grapes. I have more of vitamin A and E than carrots and almonds. I have more polyphenol than red wine. I have more iron than spinach and almonds. I have more protein than yogurt, milk, and eggs. I have more fiber than healthy oats. I have more potassium than the best of bananas. I have more calcium than the creamiest milk. My friend, do you know my name? From Temparabeni to the Ganges, far and wide has spread my fame. I am your friend, the Moringa. By Johanna Devadeyavu. Here's a poem by Johanna Devadeyavu, entitled, To Be Love. Love knows no hatred. Love is to be loving. Love is not harsh. Love is to be caring. Love knows no grudge. Love is to be forgiving. Love is not revenging. Love is to be at rest. Love knows no judgment. Love is to be serene. Love is not explosive. Love is to be calm. Love knows no jealousy. Love wishes well to all. Love is not selfish. Love is to be sharing. Love knows no greed. Love is to be satisfied. Love is not satirical. Love is to be kind. Love knows no lust. Love is contentment. Love is not slothful. Love is to be energetic. Love knows no pride. Love is to be humble. Love is not carnal. Love is divine. Love knows not death. Love is eternal. Love is never failing. Love renders protection. Flowing from life source, love dwells in the soul. Johanna Devadeavu, August 27, 2020. This is a poem by Johanna Devadeavu entitled Soul God Union. It is the living God who created us. Unite in that great God who is our creator. At this time, seek God. Take away all hatred. Presence of unseen God is true wisdom. Opened for God will be your eyes. When worldly things, soul love for God is not outward love, is inward love. Eternal soul love. Pray, God my creator, come into my heart. Forgive my karma. Fill me with your power. Give me your peace. I do surrender myself to you. Marvelous, marvelous poems. I would like to share one or two more of my own. I'll bring you the Sea Watch poem about those who rescue immigrants searching for a new home. It's called Sea Watch.
Sea Watch 3. I'm bringing them to safety, so said Renata. The stinking ship was sinking, the darling daring crew knew what to do, would you? Those darlings plucked, ran out of luck. Fast blasted from the dunking drunken seas were struck. I'm bringing them to safety, she has started, whomever lost once upon the seas related. She dared, she said, she cared, she bled, into the port the broken ship skid. The captain Haiti. The heaving seas were round their knees, voices upraised, buffeted bare. The keening prayer was sounded, they stuttered shouting there. Lampedusa they saw that night, Lampedusa forbidden bite. Unbidden blockade, friendless baited bait and barred land bobbed in their fright sight. Forbidden barred they all should drown. Bring not that burden untied unbound. That desperate cargo dearly dying better there than scattered trying on the shore the share unworked. Europe bounty freedom life they shirked. When from Afric's murder, strife. I'm bringing them to safety, she calmly stated. Renata's ship rumbled when out from danger's graves they stumbled all the humbled hungry numbered. Dashed they splashed when oceans lash. Untreated wife and child death salt dunked and drunk in danger's strife. She plucked them life. Against them against the law that barred. These children strife born from salty jaws. I'm bringing them to safety, she repeated, when the officers of law completed, charging her with rescue wily. Though they smiled shy, we'd rather had you failed, when you from the Watry graveyard sailed. Break through the blockade, without the trade such evil hatchlings' plans betrayed. When desperate they tilted toward the shore, no more designed divine the door. Toward heaven and the end of strife, or shoreward toward the mean device. I'm bringing them to safety, she reiterated, when the cameras and the law bore down. When she walked the shore was heard murderous hate adorned law's door. Lawless and rich the German bitch, to throw these out on unwelcoming beach. She plundered, pirate plucking these from death, is there no law protecting landsmen from this theft? No place to hide from this brazen death-denying bride. Carrying these unwanted dropped ashore to stroll our lands unrolled. When they otherwise, silent prop blocked and plopped on death's western welcome dooming door. Not here at the ancient door of Rome once civilized and so more before. When some welcome once the pride and prince's nation. Now they spurn these lowly broken O station bitch bride of German prideful stride. Without her all these hundreds died and she only moans and begs us listen. At these luckless plucked from waves that glisten, whom she please and this quite stately. I'm bringing them all to shore to safety. The hate pours out, the dam is broken by racist shouting, parlous token. Ply our seas, disturb our sleep, protect those others, from the salty waters steep and crashing plunders. And yet she sighs upon the waters there is a law, we are all daughters. Before the fall and fain would stand above the stained waves, and pluck men from a watery graves. Disturb your slumber de ye Troyan desperate, whom Carthage sought, when ye were homeless. Tossed across the desert seas when Carthage could have broken you thieves. As you stole from broken crime. Dashed from home you rootless climbed, grieving hopeless unbuoyed. Only Dido let you weary rest. When all you Trojans failed the test. Rank Agamemnon, broke your kin, and daring bloody Greek broke in. Out you fled homeless across the azure boundless seas to roam unbidden. After Carthage's welcomed respite founded Rome hidden. No more room your stolen home from Etruscan booty loaned. The shore now barred no more to carry. Oh come ye not, there's no room for carriage. I'm bringing them to safety our law disparaged. Rakit explains it's not about individuals like me, she stated. It's just they'd rather we all drown unbated, than find a dear place here on the shore's trace. They've closed the door these hardened hearts. No beginning here, no room for starts. Renata's heart could not replace, a caring decent loving grace. These dying darlings plucked from seas. I'm bringing them all to safety. A pariah, saint, the shouts resound and before the judge, the captain bound. Here upon the heartless shore of men. The captain stands upon the ocean's law, and has rescued those plucked from the sea. She tells her story, brought them to shore. I'm bringing them to safety, she repeats, and Europe stammers and into shoreside lore retreats. For Renata. And brave sailors of Sea Watch 3.
For Renata and the brave soldiers of Sea Watch 3. Okay, next. A little piece I call Scrubbing Groceries.
Scrubbing Groceries. By Rick Spizak. A new world of shopping's true. We scrub our foods even though they're new. No new plate waiting, till food's well scrubbed. Each and every virus is beaten. Drubbed. Not into the house till all in suds. Are dipped. No longer direct to kitchen carried ferried, shipped. A longer path through suds are buried. Cause that virus sure has us all quite worried. Out in the yard, it's scrubbed and cleaned. Till it's earned its entry in the house, after it's dipped and dripped. Through antiseptic screened. Scrubbed twice till all is squeaky clean, that's true. That's what today's COVID shoppers do. But before it's packed or in the pan. With gloved hands scrubbed till paint's made thin. Reducing biota on its surface. That COVID sure makes us all quite nervous. Till it's clean enough for going in. May these small efforts, saints preserve us. With these new steps in the shopping cycle serve us. We bring it home and then we wipe all. Lest we sunset find and night fall. A scrubbing bowl and cleanser kept close. Until it's cleaned into the house it don't goes. Some we spray and others dunk. We study science or else we sunk. Each item from the bags gets dumped. Each veggie piled into a lump. Handled carefully might carry bugs. Using disinfectant and scrubbing bubbles. Tug, hug, and scrub. Scrubbing all till surface shines. I like yours clean indeed, just like mine. The glass and plastic tumble, liquids dipped. But cardboard boxes sprayed with disinfectant strong. Allowing no impure packaging cause it be wrong. But not a morsel touches lips until the sanitation fairies vist. We all these varied precautions follow tis or tisn't. No noshing, finger foods forbid. Till scrubbed and wiped and carried. Once groceries are all scrubbed and bugs subdued, we carry it in and it's now Becco meth food. They're carried in, with ice cream melted. But all those virii, been beaten pelted. A whole new wrinkle in shopping's tedium. Reducing biota on the surface medium. Till all's been scrubbed and put away. Now I'm dropping. Done. Hooray.
And that was Scrubbing Groceries, a COVID poem. Speaking of COVID poems, I want to share this one with you. It's quite fresh. It's called The Rebecca Jones Report. Many of you may know that there are scientists trying to keep us healthy, keep us safe, and they're investigating what's really going on. Some people seem, oddly enough, to have an aversion to science, but there you go. But there was one scientist in Florida who, to help people understand what was going on, took a variety of sources of raw data and compiled them into one online report that everyone could get with the Prevend carefully delineated. You knew where the data was coming from. It was nothing but the facts. But oddly enough, there's a brand of politician in this world today who don't like facts. So Rebecca was fired because she was giving out facts and she refused to jimmy the numbers. Well, once she was fired, she left the state, Florida, unfortunately. She left the state and set up her own online chart using the same sources and continued to tell the truth. Well, that made some people very, very annoyed. So I write this. This is my little piece entitled The Rebecca Jones Report. And I start and end with a quote from her own voice. Starts off with, "It's time to speak up before another 17,000 are dead. You know this is wrong. You don't have to be part of this. Be a hero. Speak out before it's too late." That message, as you can imagine, got her in trouble with the thought police. She built, in answer to a need, a special virus data feed. Her site was touted, widely praised, and the infections mounted and quietly, silently filled the graves. Transparent and accurate, her site was praised. But despite all the accolades, the governor was dismayed. "All these numbers, are they sure? How much such facts must I endure?" "Desanticize the data," he demanded. "That damn data girl must be reprimanded." He'd like the horrendous numbers be quietly suppressed, you see. Rebecca had a backbone. Her data true was not a guess. She didn't care about the governor's distress. "A health emergency. Too many dead, that's all," she said. "Just the facts. A site free of spin, and that's exactly where her troubles begin. Can't we just say we count too fast, that the results aren't in? Surely we've done more and plenty in the past. We've got to mask that data fast. But it's all right here. We need the truth. That much is clear. The governor preferred to tame the number. He'd a state to run. He'd heard the grumble. Tourist economy he had right here. He couldn't abide this data smear. Some sullen data girl with a sneer. But sure, the website's well regarded. But I don't want those numbers. Don't get me started. Shut her up," the demand went out. They didn't calculate the clout. Untrammeled data. The truth will out. Despite a data freeze among the palms, her job was out. Storm becalmed. They didn't know she wouldn't buckle. She packed her bags and left the hate, despite her accolades, ungrateful state. The bureaucrats under pressure whined. She was rude and had an independent mind. We thought her saucy, the little minx. She went her own way, and that's distinct, a stinking kink. Remove her number, stop the presses. Now she's built her own site, the truth undresses. Shut her up, the governor shouted. This data girl, she dared. Our awesome regal power flouted, and she wouldn't shut up. Sends out a press release. The gov don't this never cease? Invent a problem, jail's the cure. How much more of her must we endure? We'll raid her house, she'll get the idea. Leak bad stories, that'll guide her. Why won't she let us go our own way? Hide the data, the damn it dooming. Booming facts delay. What'd she get from all this bother? Where's her husband? Where's her father? Didn't she learn somehow about backing authority? Doesn't she know we got the majority? Unwelcome facts are hardly popular. Jail will science, that'll stop her. A raid at her house by the mighty cop. The press will eat it up. Her daughter would stop. Yes, they had some sneaking sympathy for a girl whose mission was to share the truth without contrition. They wanted her off the web for sure. They wanted to close the data door. But she's a friend of truth, and that's for sure. She'd flown truth's flag without contrition against the governor's obvious preferred position. The judge wouldn't muzzle truth, nor would he bind her to GPS rules. He somehow liked this brave young lass whose bravery gave the troubled gov the gas. Now they've jailed her. Now she's sick. They dealt with her, but will those trumped-up charges stick? If only law prevails, we're done. But if justice shows her face, she's won. Remember, she said, it's time to speak the truth up before another 17,000 are dead. You know this is wrong. You don't have to be part of this. Be a hero. Speak out before it's too late. The terrible true news they couldn't use, only she knew the true and dared show you. Written the 19th of January, 2021. Okay, and now we have one final poet of the day. We have the charming voice of Meher Pestanji, a wonderful poet coming to us from India. Now, I ask you to bear with me. The sound's got a little echo, but I want you to listen past the echo. I want you to listen to her voice. Listen to this voice of this powerful, wise Indian woman, Meher Pestanji. Meher, let's hear it.
Hi, Rick.
Hi,
the
Rick.
First time I'm doing a Skype call. So.
Well, I'm honored that you would try an experiment.
Yes, it's an experiment.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me ask you to introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about when you started writing. And then I would be honored if you would recite a few of your poems.
Okay. How I started writing in general, or poetry, or just writing in general?
Well, you know, not all poets started writing poetry. Some wrote short stories, but or you know, papers for school, and then found the muse speaking to them. Did you start writing young, or did you start writing poetry when you were older, in college or beyond?
Much beyond. I started writing as a journalist. I became a journalist at the age of around 30. After my marriage broke up, I was not qualified to do anything, so friends said, well, you write nice letters, so why don't you do something with writing? So I became a journalist, and in the course of writing journalism, at some point I had a friend who was writing poetry with her, and we were just exchanging poems and enjoying it. I really didn't think of publishing for a long time. And initially, I showed some poems to a very senior poet, Nizam Ezekiel, who is no more. And he saw that my poems were very, very short. So he said, don't be in a hurry to rush out with them. Let them grow.
So I just kept them to myself and was not writing. I mean, I was busy with my journalism and my family and I was just single parent with two daughters who had some difficulties. So writing poetry was something I did as and when it came up. It's not anything I took seriously for a very long time.
Of course, I'm a practicing journalist myself, so I have to ask, what kind of journalism did you do?
Well, actually, my journalism went into two streams, covering several aspects of the arts. I enjoyed doing interviews with very senior people in the art world, painters, writers, filmmakers, theatre people. I was theatre critic for a local paper for about three years. So that was one stream of journalism, and the other stream was activism. I was involved in changing the rape laws, which we did in the early 80s. I was involved in housing rights issues for street people. I did a lot of work with street children.
So that's wonderful. Those were the two branches of journalism I was in.
And of course, anti-communalism campaigns, which was a big thing.
Well, thank you so much. Journalism at its best can do so many wonderful things. Help people understand issues that maybe aren't close to them or that they often look away from. I have a lot of respect for my fellow journalists. It's such important work. And often it can be uncomfortable work because a lot of people in authority would just assume you don't tell those stories. So I have an awful lot of respect for you for doing that work. So you've been writing now for quite some time, and you write some poetry. Now, I hope that you write some things for your own amusement as well as political or social commentary. What kind of writing have you been doing lately? What kind of poetry have you been writing lately?
Writing poetry, and in the meantime, I found the journalistic scene had changed completely after that.
Well, I agree with you that our time since the pandemic has got many people to be thinking a little more. We have a little more time to think. We have a little more time to reflect. And I've written several COVID poems myself. I am a writer who likes to inject some humor in my writing.
Yes,
so I've gone in that direction.
Yes.
If you're comfortable, I'd love to have you read a few pieces that you'd like to share with our audience. We have a global audience. Many are in America, but we do reach Europe and some of Asia and Africa. If you're comfortable reading a few, why don't you go and introduce them? If there was a particular itch you were going to scratch, a particular issue you wanted to address, I would love to hear that. And then your poem.
I haven't kept any poems ready to read, which are very short, which is what Nisim had told me to wait till they grow.
Anything you prefer to read, my dear, anything you'd like.
If we can pause a bit, I would like to get some poems and read them.
Take a moment or two. Go ahead.
First one I'll read is about three-line poem.
A squirrel's home is a hole in my roof.
Second one. When a lovely rainbow fades.
Empty sky
hits the eyeballs as blue. Third.
Salt remains
when seawater flies to the sun.
Very nice.
So these are the old poems, and if you wait a bit, I can bring out my coat.
Please do.
Okay, this one is called Coconuts Without Water. Lockdown evenings, I walk on the rooftop to be greeted by coconut tree arms waving at me. Trees that soared from sea to sky, with silhouettes commanding the breach. Have all been dwarfed by the city skyline. Imposing steel on the street. Arrow straight trunks, uncluttered with branches, shot out of earth, stuck in concrete trenches. Roots dug deep into grainy sand as malls and apartments gobbled up the land. Nestled into fronds, gracious green curd, huddled baby coconuts, shyly hiding in mother's skirt. Theirs is a generation stunted from birth, without any water to fill their girth. Brown and shriveled, they sit in the sun, sucking dry nipples till they become one with coarse fiber to be spun into mats to wipe feet on. Coconuts without water.
Eggs without yolk, lifeless.
I walk with head bent, contemplatively, aware of coconut eyes staring at me. I'm from the race that's become a disgrace, siphoning earth's water, blind to their mournful gaze. Thank you.
Very nice.
That's it. You want another poem?
Oh, please. I would love to have another poem or two.
Okay. Go to. Corona. This one is directly to do with Corona. It's called Corona Moon.
Gold moon,
gold moon
looms over,
moon
dark,
over
earth,
dark earth,
flashing,
obverse stars.
Oblivious
of
dreams of
gone sour.
Of crashes,
unspeakable lashes
of disease, decayed death. House shrinking into hut, dissolving into mud.
Mud spreading
to unite
bones with Mother Earth.
Rejuvenating dead bones.
Reclaiming the sun.
Cold moon
watches unperturbed
despite its magnetic bond
with Mother Earth.
This is also to do with the migrants who were walking for miles and miles
just after lockdown was announced in India.
So,
it's hard to stay in your home if you don't have a home.
Yes.
And you can't survive in a city like Bombay without an income.
That was so difficult.
So difficult for so many.
Impossible. They had no choice but to start walking because all transport was closed and there was no transport and they couldn't survive. They couldn't pay rent, they couldn't eat. They were the daily boy wage workers. I mean, they made money each day and finished it at the end of the day, maybe saved a little bit. But that couldn't see them through more than a day or two. So they had to start walking home. It was tragic.
Very tragic. Would you like to read one more?
Okay.
Thank you for your generous time.
No, thank you for taking me on. Great honor.
Shall we do COVID now?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, this is on a slightly more positive note. It was a friend who had COVID, who was admitted into a hospital in Delhi. He recovered and he wrote a very good article in the local press about his experience in a ward. He decided to stay in a ward and not move into a private room, and he thinks that was the best decision he made. So after I read his article, I wrote a poem on it, which he has approved of.
How nice.
COVID ward. In a COVID ward,
patients
bereft of family or friends, bond into a community of shared anxiety and restlessness and a burning desire for relief.
Punjabi, Marwari,
Muslim, Jaiswal,
all experience the same pain.
The same discomfort.
The same fear when I make it.
Doctors, nurses, plunge needles, struggle to smile through their own fatigue.
The encouraging voices come from co-patients empathizing.
Is the plasma donor Muslim or Hindu?
Who cares?
Only healing matters.
Intermingling saves lives.
One by one, patients leave.
Humans healed of a deadly virus.
We are family now.
Is the parting greeting.
How nice.
Thank you.
May I share one of my poems with
yes,
you?
Please.
You are so gracious to share yours. It's the least I can do to share one of mine.
Thank you so much.
This
This is a little piece that's both serious and I like to think hopeful. It addresses another problem of our human family about people who are too ready to contemplate war. I call it non-disposable world.
Okay.
It goes like this. Picture it. A world without thermonuclear overkill. Bomb lost its thrill. It will. Picture it. A world after all the bombs are gone. To Farmon, bomb lost its thrill. It will. Picture it. A world not holding its breath at the edge of death, the toxic waste, the chemical taste of food, in money only good. Bomb lost its thrill. It will. Picture it. No mad general with pointing digit poised, ears filled with noise of shouts of doubts. Bomb lost its thrill. It will. Picture it. A world after the end of biological weapons that fools would send, threaten. Bomb lost its thrill. It will. Picture it. No fanatic, dramatic climate war. No inversions or floods or earthquake cone crunch. Too much heat then, or dry. No clouds in the sky. No rain with lunch. Bomb lost its thrill. It will. Picture it. No ray guns in space. No thistly whistly missiles to bless the stratosphere torn or hot heads wind down. Burn after space war. Rafter thought. It had meant quite a lot. Bomb lost its thrill. It will.
That's lovely.
Thank you.
I just hope it happens. Because I think it's so important to infuse positive energies into our writing. I know that it doesn't have any direct effect, but I think the indirect effect of infusing positive thinking does have ripples, though we may not see them.
Absolutely. I think the same thing. Maher, thank you so very much for joining us. Tell us, where are you presently? Are you in Delhi, Mumbai?
Mumbai.
Well, thank you again. Thank you so much for your time, and please continue to write.
Thank you, Rick, for having me on. It's really been a great honor, and I've enjoyed every moment.
Good. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy.
You too.
Thanks so much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the Poets of the East. I'm your host, and producer Rick Spisak. Even though the show is live, you can listen to it anytime. So all the collection of Poets of the East, every episode is available to you to listen anytime. So tune in again next time, Poets of the East.